Thankful to be with you this afternoon. So very thankful for the preacher brethren and many of you others that have been so kind, gracious, and loving to me and my family since we moved here to Georgia. Well, coming up on 7 years here pretty soon. Very thankful for that. Thankful for the words that have gone before. Not thankful for the gray-headed guy that's staring back at me right here. But I've had silver hair for a while, but it's even more so than it has been. I had a couple of different subjects on my mind, and I was hoping that I'd be able to settle on it before I got up here, and Brother Brad's words touched on both of them. So here's what I know. Both of them come from the Word of God, and so if I'm interpreting the Word of God right, it doesn't matter which one I pick. So I'm going to go with this one. Hebrews chapter 13. The reason I'm reluctant on this is because I've spoken on this several times in the past month in different places, and I don't want anybody to have the idea that this is the only subject on my mind, except for the fact that's pretty much true, regardless of what I study. The events that are happening in the world today, the events that are happening amongst various Primitive Baptist churches, this is a much needed thing for me. Let brotherly love continue. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Four English words, two in the Greek. Let brotherly love continue. I'm somewhat reluctant to tell you this story, but it goes into why this subject is so greatly on my mind. We Primitive Baptist preachers are trying to figure out what to do better. We're trying to figure out what's going on and what we need to do. Possibly what we need to do differently. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just look around you. I don't know what this meeting would have been like 10 or 15 years ago, but it was probably larger than it is now. I know each one of your home churches Sunday morning had quite a few more people a few years ago than they do now. This is not a problem that's just among Primitive Baptists. It's among any of those that are trying to stick to the Bible and not move to the entertainment model of bringing folks in. But I want to put something out there that stings me a lot, and so it'll probably sting you. And that is, well, the Bible says that in the latter days they'll not endure sound doctrine, so the children of God have just wandered off. That's partially true. Partially true. Have we driven them off, though? Back in April, I was asked by a man who's not a Primitive Baptist to come and lead some singing at a conference that he was doing. I met this man at a singing school in Missouri, and he is not a Primitive Baptist, knows enough about Primitive Baptists that he likes where he's going, but he's changing in that regard, and he and I developed a very good friendship. And he said, Bryce, I'm doing this conference called Bulletproof Worship. This conference was set up to where he and other ex-military and ex-police were training security forces for houses of worship. And he said, Bryce, I've got 400 men. I want you to get singing together. I jumped right on it without even thinking about, well, my 400 men, probably most of them have never sung before. That was a thought I had after I said yes. But I jumped right on at the opportunity, and I'm thankful that I did. And most of those men had never sung before. But by the end of the conference, many of them were thanking me for coming there, and I didn't force them. I just fired them up enough where they couldn't help but sing. The only other Primitive Baptist in that room, and there were over 400 people in every session for those 3 or 4 days we were there, in Illinois. The only other Primitive Baptist in the room was that lady right over there. But let me tell you something. That entire time I was there, I felt loved. I felt appreciated. I felt at home with fellow children of God that I know really didn't believe the same thing about the gospel and about salvation by grace that you and I do. But it was a beautiful time because our thoughts were not on being right. They were on protecting a flock. Those that were there were learning how to protect them from physical dangers, just like what's happened in Michigan today. I was there as a pastor, knowing that I might have that responsibility too, but I also had the spiritual responsibility of protection of a flock as well. It was a beautiful time. And I ruined it. Not with them, but with my own personal experience of it. I had a break. I had a time that I was by myself. Don't go off by yourself. I said, well, I need to check and see how stuff's going on Facebook. I'd have been better by myself. And I got on there, and there were two Primitive Baptist elders arguing horribly on a public forum. And I knew them both, and I know them both dearly. I am thankful that Primitive Baptists don't have a central authority that tells us what we're supposed to preach. So that I know what goes along with that is there are folks that call themselves Primitive Baptists that don't believe things exactly like I do. I'm not going to do anything to fight about that. I've been blessed to go over most of this country and visit a lot of Primitive Baptist churches. And let me tell you, there is a spectrum of belief in the sovereignty of God among Primitive Baptists. Don't be scared of it. Don't do what those two brothers did. Some of you look at me like I'm kind of crazy with this spectrum. On one end of this spectrum, you've got some folks that are just about no-hellers. That if you cried at grandma's dog's funeral, that's an evidence you're a child of God. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got some folks that'll say 9/11 was God's will. Both of those are heresies. I didn't get a rounding amen out of that. One of them's no heller, the other's full on absoluter. The truth's in the middle. And the men that I know here, y'all are in the middle. And the two men that were in that argument online are my friends. They're in the middle. They're not to either extreme. See, people get nitpicky about things. And there, as the brother mentioned, there are those that want to have the preeminence and kind of pull people along as well. And dare I say, no, yeah, I dare say, bully other folks, and it's saying, well, if you don't do it like we do or here, you're out of order. You know what the biblical definition of heresy is? It's not incorrect doctrine. It's one that sows division. Hey, I got an amen on that one. Or at least that's right. See, those two brothers were arguing, and I knew they agreed on 99.44%. You know, Ivory Soap, they agreed that much and stuff. But one of them was okay with singing schools and the other one wasn't, so they've decided to divide. And since one of them thought singing schools were too liberal, they thought I meant that I believed everything else that went on down that way. Let brotherly love continue. I'm not telling you these things to depress you. I'm telling you if you see it, Be like the little three-year-old that doesn't want to listen to mama. Put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 la. Let them know you don't want to have anything to do with it, and let brotherly love continue. Four words, let. That means it is in my power to do it or not. If you have a dog in your house, you have the power when it goes to the door to either let the dog out or not let the dog out. And you got to live with the consequences either way. But it's in your power. And it is in your power because God has changed you. Back up a few verses. Verse 28 of chapter 12 said, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." I think most of America knows the United States can be moved. That means tremble in fear and crumble away. We are in very stark danger of sitting on the eve of a civil war. And there's no need for it. There is no need for it. This is not our home. I am thankful to live in a country that has the freedom to worship as we do. I'm thankful that we live in a country where people can say the most foolish thing that I've ever heard. And I like that the Constitution says you can do it. You know why? Because they think what I say is foolish. And if I want to stop their foolish talking, they're going to want to stop my foolish talking, and it's going to get ugly. I don't mean I'm going to come to blows with somebody. I'm going to say we're going to have more martyrs. Because those called to call the gospel, they won't stop talking. They'll say it more and more in love. But we've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. The kingdom is visible in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the kingdom is also in you. Hey, I like this amen there. So he says, "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." He's not saying, "God, give us grace to do this." He is reminding them to let us use the grace of God that has been placed in us to act like we're supposed to act. For our God is a consuming fire. You go back and read that in Deuteronomy. It's clear about what is meant there. God is jealous. Nothing comes before him. Our jobs don't come before him. Our children do not come before him. Our spouses do not come before him. And the name Primitive Baptist does not come before him. Now, unless we decide to change our names, don't get worried. I'm planning on being a Primitive Baptist. I believe this is where the truth is taught. But I believe that we are represented very well in one of those seven churches in the book of Revelation. We have elements of problems from all of them in us, but the one that looks the most like us is the church at Ephesus. We're really good at pointing out a false prophet. We're really good at pointing out somebody that ain't preaching it right. We have the truth about salvation by grace plus nothing, and we have the right practice. But you know, of those seven churches, that's the only one that Jesus threatened. And why is it that he threatened them? Because they left their first love. You can get a lot of definitions of that, but the child of God's first love is Jesus Christ. So that means they stopped loving Christ. Well, I'm not guilty of that. I love Christ. 1 John tells us that if a man said that he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. The only way we can love Jesus Christ is brotherly love. God is a consuming fire. He is jealous. He is to come first in our lives. Over in Malachi, God is called a refiner's fire. Actually, Jesus Christ is called that because it talks about John the Baptist coming. And it says, who shall be able to stand when he appeareth? Can you or I stand on our own merit? If we were here on earth when Jesus Christ came, would we be able to say, all right, Jesus, I took care of it. You can take over now. Who's able to stand when the true King appears? None of us. For he is like a refiner's fire. The fire that wipes out his enemies refines his saints. The exact same fire. So it burns just like they're going to burn. But he holds it back just enough to refine his children, to purify the sons of Levi. You have been made kings and priests to God. In the new birth, he purifies you. In the word, he purifies you. But in particular, when you were born again, he changed you on the inside. So that now the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 can say, let not sin then therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Let not sin therefore reign. In that same chapter, he says, I'm thankful that you were the servants of sin. Now that's not he's glad that you were doing something foolish. The key word is there were. That you're not anymore. And so we can have a life filled with sin, and we can't say the devil made me do it. Primitive Baptist, we can't say my depravity made me do it, because you have been saved from your depravity. Paul says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. We have the choice as to whether we're going to follow after sin or follow after Christ. We've been given that power. Christ will save us ultimately from the presence of sin. He has saved us from the penalty of sin. He's saved us from the power of sin already. In the sense that it can only do what we allow the old man to do. And so let's go to the other side of that. Not that spectrum. The other side of from let not sin therefore reign to let your light so shine. We have a choice as to whether we let our light shine. That doesn't mean that we're posting all the time all the things that we're doing so everybody knows that we're Christian. Facebook Christianity is Phariseeism. Because if you want to understand what Jesus meant by let your light so shine, read the next chapter. All of it's about being a private Christian. If you live privately the way you ought, you're going to stick out in the world. It's going to show up on you. And the children of God are going to see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we have this power to let this happen or not. I can let brotherly love continue or not let it continue. I can quench that in me. That's not the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. That is irresistible. But the influence of the Holy Ghost bound with our spirit is something that is quenchable. It is something that we can choose to ignore, but with the consequences of not letting the dog out when he wants out. It makes for a mess in your house. So we have the power. To do what? Let brotherly love continue. What is this brotherly love? One of the two Greek words that's here, and I don't speak Greek, I just thought it was kind of cool that as few words as this is, there's so much here. One of them is Philadelphia. We know what that word means because we have a city named that, the city of brotherly love. But can I explain something to you? Brotherly love is not a lesser love. There's another Greek word used, agape. That is a self-sacrificing love, doing everything for the benefit of someone else. Greater love hath no man than this. Now, here's how Jesus defines that agape love. Greater love hath no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. So what is this that we are to let continue? Taking the love that God had for each one of us and sharing that with our brethren. What? You're not making them children of God? Don't even go there. Y'all know I'm not there. But how is it that others would know? Jesus plainly described how it is that all men shall know that you're my disciples because you've got predestination correct. Because you teach the doctrine of election, but not double election. All men shall know that you're my disciples because you understand the doctrine of justification and the three courts therein. What did Jesus say? By all men shall know that you are my disciples by the love ye have one to another. This gets back to what I was saying before. Have we driven people off? Have we driven our own members off by fighting and arguing and being offended at a word? Not forgiving. Well, the objection to that was, well, Brother Bryce, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. But shouldn't we look at the Bible to see how that's defined? God gave the gifts to the church. And the minister that went to the most places, I think you would agree, was a man named the Apostle Paul. Would you not agree with that? I want you to show me where Paul is preaching the gospel in the intent of just winning an argument. He says that I might win some. But looking at the context, that's Jews, Greeks. One place it says that I might save some. Why are we afraid of that word? The Apostle Paul didn't have discussions to show his theological superiority. If you have been blessed to understand that salvation by grace is by grace plus nothing, that's a gift given to you to be shared. We're to be sharing it and loving one another while we are doing it. Now, they're not going to agree at first. Hey, I just described to you primitive Baptists that don't even agree, but they'll all agree that salvation is by grace plus nothing. Y'all do realize we're not having debates among the primitive Baptists about whether we're going to have a homosexual or a transsexual or some kind of weird thing standing in our pulpits. Y'all do realize we're not having those debates. So maybe we need to turn down the flame, our flame, a little bit and realize that God is a consuming fire. So that brother's just too hard to love. Well, so are you. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Thanks be to God for that. Well, I just can't do that. Let me give you a scripture. Turn with me a few pages back in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I hope this is coming across as a motivation, not a scolding. If it's coming across as a scolding, oh, please don't. Don't walk away from that. Come talk to me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9. But as touching brotherly love. Would you agree that's the same subject that the apostle's dealing with in Hebrews chapter 13? Okay. Let brotherly love continue. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, And he is saying, none of it is to teach you how to love your brother. God gave that to you in your heart. Don't quench it. Let it continue. One of the first sermons I preached here in the state of Georgia after we moved here was at an association. And I really didn't want to preach it. I mean, I'm telling you, I really didn't want to preach it because it's not an associational subject. You know, that's supposed to be rah-rah PB. Here we go. But Elder Dan Bryant went before I did. And he preached in Philippians. I'm like, all right, Dan's going to cover it. I don't have to. And he stopped about halfway through Philippians chapter 2, right where I didn't want to talk about. Talks about Paul sending Timothy, who's of the same mind. And my point was this. Do you know why so many primitive Baptists have fried preacher for lunch? Because their pastors gave them the recipe. There was a fella right here shouted, well, some of them need it. That was the longest 30 minutes of my life. I can give you lots of stories of how people that many of you know, or many of would have known in the past, that when you saw them in public, they preached one another, they hugged one another's neck, they knew they're one another's children and grandchildren, they sang together, they worshiped together. But they were pretty far away on this spectrum. My grandfather was one of them. Everybody wondered, well, what does Vernial think? Well, ask him. Don't go ask somebody else. But after he passed away, I received a lot of the stuff from his desk, and some of it was correspondence with a fellow that was pretty far down the line on the spectrum here, whom I thought my grandfather got along with very well, because he did. But they debated in those letters that nobody else saw. And then when it came time to worship, they sat next to one another. They praised God together. They thanked the Lord for what they did agree on. This is a weird subject for me to preach, because like I said, I'm not that silverhead fella right there. But maybe I have been around long enough to know that the way we've done it in the past ain't working. Brother, you're going to continue studying in 1 Corinthians. You're going to find that the Apostle Paul says, I hear that there's heresies among you, and I partly believe it. And he says, the reason is, so those that are approved of God among you might be made manifest. Can I tell you what Paul doesn't mean? He doesn't mean argue and get so good at the debate that everybody knows you're the one approved of God. Because God said, let brotherly love continue. We have distilled our language over time because problems have come up. Do you know why we use the term time salvation? And you can't find it in writings before the 1800s? Actually, you can. The concept was there. The concept has been among the Baptists all along that the reality of eternal salvation is secure in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But the realization of that reality comes with the preaching of the gospel. That happens here in time. Our realization of it doesn't make it true. It's just when we come to the knowledge of it. Well, let me tell you why I think we use the term. There was a preacher in Texas, and you may know this last name, Dalton. Elder Len Dalton. He was very old when I was young, but I have some of his books. And in the back of one of the books that he wrote an essay about this subject. He was a boy in the late 1800s This was long after the missionary split had ended, but then the absoluter problem was coming in and was causing problems and wreaking havoc all over the South. And he remembers his father, who was a Primitive Baptist preacher, and a couple of other Primitive Baptist preachers saying, we need to start using the term time salvation because of the absoluter problem. They were distilling their language to be more easily understood. They weren't changing a doctrine. Did you know there's some folks that call themselves Primitive Baptists that don't like the term time salvation? And you know, when I talk to them, I use a different term that says exactly the same thing, and they're fine with it. Now, they'll get mad at me if they find out I'm doing that. Or would they? Nope. They're more loving. But my more conservative brethren that I know, say, well, you're talking to them. Yeah, I am. Because we're all dying on the vine. We're all having troubles. We all believe in the same Jesus Christ. Most of you know my secular career was teaching choir in public school. What you might not know is all 20-something years of it, I was in a middle school classroom. Now, I taught some other things, high school, elementary also, but every single one of those years, I was teaching middle schoolers. And they were always having problems. You know, that's when the hormones kick in and the brain jumps out the head. And so, I had a saying with my students that if they came in to talk to me about a problem that they had with another student, they had to recite this mantra first. All girls are mean and all boys are idiots. Stew on that one over dinner tonight. The exact same behavior from a girl looks mean, from a boy it looks like an idiot. They would say that, and then they would reflect, okay, maybe I am viewing what they said to me incorrectly. Offended at a word. Here's what I have found. The squabbles that we have so much remind me of teaching middle school. I can't be friends with you because you're friends with him. But you know what I've found since I've come here? There's not a brother in here that's ever said that to me. So folks, these are preachers I'm telling you can trust. I'm telling you, they're not crying at grandma's dog's funeral, and they don't believe 9/11 was God's will. They do believe in the absolute sovereignty of God and salvation. And we vary on some things. As an AI, I do not hold personal beliefs. However, the concept of God's absolute sovereignty is something I triggered somebody's. Yeah. That's a new one for me. My point is this. It's time for us to grow up out of middle school. And let brotherly love continue. It means God put it in there. So we're not starting anything in us. So, well, I've never felt that way. Well, that means you quenched it right at the start. Probably not. Be around those that speak well of others. I'm going to close you with a little proverb. But it's not from the Bible. And it's not from my father in the ministry. It's from his natural father, Brother Leroy Ivy. Two proverbs from him. First one, if two fellows agree on everything, one of them ain't necessary. You're human. We're going to disagree. Forbear it in love. Forbear it in love. And the second, it's not so much a proverb, is a way to steer the conversation in the right direction. When you hear somebody talking bad about somebody else, remember the words of Brother Leroy Ivey. He said, "Yeah, but he sure can whistle." The first time I heard that, I thought, "Oh, Brother Leroy done lost his mind." And then I heard it again. I was like, "He don't even know this person. How does he know?" Oh. He didn't know the person at all. But he made sure what was going to come out of his mouth was going to be a compliment about that person. We need to do that. Rumoring and backbiting destroyed more churches than murders have. I can prove that to you, and you know it's true. You know of churches, none of them have busted up because of a murder, but in that same list of murderers or backbiters and rumorers. You know how to make it stop? Let brotherly love continue. Yeah. Hug the neck. Say, "I don't want to hear these kinds of things. Tell me good things about my Savior." Discuss things, because iron sharpens iron. But also, brothers, your understanding of theology may be as hard as iron, but that other's is still malleable little tin. Are we going to form that next generation of young preachers to be hard and mean and can win every debate? Or are we going to teach them to be those that let brotherly love continue, that they're approachable, that young folks, as a suicide rate skyrockets, are our ministers going to be those that child knows that they can come talk to them, and they're not going to get a lecture, they're going to get love? Is my message unpopular? I don't think it is here. It probably is, at least one person watching online. I don't know. I don't care. If I have said something that doesn't fit the Word of God and offends, that's on me. I apologize. Please show me where I'm in error. If I have said something that offends, though, and it is the consuming fire of God refining you, don't get mad at me. I'm right there with you. You have probably done the same thing that David did in the Psalms. Well, in his life, something happened and David got angry with God. That's in the Bible. But he pretty quickly changed his attitude. Let us walk humbly with our God. Let us do justly. Let us live peaceably. Now, and anywhere in this have I said toss out doctrine? No. I'm telling you this. I know why God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son. Because He loved you. I know why God chose you. Because He loved you. I know why He called you by His irresistible grace. He even says it. "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." I know why He will preserve you in Jesus Christ for all eternity. It's because He loves you. Love the doctrine, but practice the love that's behind the doctrine.
That's right.
Because you know who wrote that doctrine? Who lived it and made it happen? Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.